across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback.
Welcome
to AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
You know, it's Monday. What can I say? Welcome to Monday and welcome to Feedback. All right, we're going to talk to Teresa Whetstone, who is with the District Attorney's Office here in Marathon County. And we're going to talk about the realism and the facts behind what I've been talking about with child predators. Good morning, Teresa. Thank you for coming in. It has been it's been interesting getting both our schedules to work at the same time. You are a very, very busy individual, and I greatly appreciate you coming in and talking to us this morning. How long have you been with the DA's office?
I'll be 12 years in January.
How'd you do that? I mean, because there's not a lot of people that go, ooh, I want to be a prosecutor. That's such an uplifting job.
Well, actually, I interned in Marathon County when I was in law school in the district attorney's office, and I was very inspired by the work that was done there and some of the prosecutors who were actually the district attorney, Ken Heimerman, who is still there, mentored me back then and really inspired me to do this job.
And have you, do you specialize in this field? I mean, do you find an area of prosecution that you think, okay, this is what I feel led to or I feel maybe more skilled at in prosecution? Can you specialize, and have you?
Yes, we actually have a number of specialties in our office. Prosecution of operating while intoxicated offenses, prosecution of domestic violence offenses, drug offenses. I specialize in the prosecution of sexual assaults.
Okay.
And that is all that I prosecute right now.
There's got to be times, though, during your day where you're sickened by what happens.
It's very difficult. I have four girls of my own, and it's very difficult to watch victims go through the system. It's very challenging for victims to go through the system, especially child victims. And yet, I know this is a job that needs to be done, and I really actually enjoy working with victims and helping them. And sometimes the help is just them knowing that someone is behind them and standing up for them in the system.
A lot of times the victims, and we're speaking, I want to be specific about child victims, they feel like there's nothing they can do. They have been told, this is your fault, and if you say or do anything, you're going to be in more trouble. This is all your fault. Isn't that a typical tactic of the predator?
Yes, it is. And the fear, there's so much fear. There's fear of the unknown in the system, and there's fear of the predator, and there's fear of what people will think of them. The fear in these young children who, for most adults, would not know how to deal with that type of fear, and then you have a child dealing with that.
I have said the reason that this bothers me so much is that when a child is victimized in this way, the damage is far-reaching. The damage has a multiple rippling effect. The child psychologically has difficulties now with intimacy in quite a variety of ways, with trust. Quite often the individual that is assaulting a child is somebody that the family knows or a family member. So this just absolutely throws the child's world of safety into a tizzy. Then later on in life, when normal, healthy sexual activity would be part of their life, they've got this attack or this crime that's been that they have to overcome. Most of the time, it takes years of therapy to overcome. And then, quite often, those that have been abused become abusers. And do you find in your line of work here in our area that those statements are actually true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The majority of offenders that I see have been offended upon when they were children. The effect on victims is that their self-worth is just shattered. Many times, not always, but many times the offenders are people that the child and the child's family, they trust that person.
Right.
Whether it be a step-parent or a mom's boyfriend or a relative. So they have formed a relationship. The child has formed a relationship with this offender, and the child is very vulnerable in many respects. They're trying to develop their sense of relationships, yep. appropriate sexual boundaries. In these formidable years, this offender takes advantage of that vulnerability, and then that shapes that individual, that child,
yep.
for the years to come. And a lot of times what I'm finding now is families are supportive of the victim, which is great. That doesn't happen all the time,
yeah.
but it does happen where they are supportive, and now they can't afford to take their child to counseling. They're trying to seek that counseling for their child, and they can't afford it, which is really devastating. And we do have some things in place to help families, but it's not nearly enough.
All right, let's talk about here in Marathon County. We can talk about national statistics, and that's one thing. But I want to get down to it here in our county, because I'd like to see us do something about this type of crime. I'd like to really see us get much, much more aggressive with it. Not that you're not doing a great job. I don't mean to imply that at all. It just angers me, this type of crime, and I want to see the harshest penalty possible. All right. As far as the number of offenses, speaking of children who are sexually abused and victimized, is it a significant problem in Marathon County? Do you see a lot of it, or is it a rare occurrence?
It is a significant problem in Marathon County. I prosecute adult offenders, so there is also a segment of sexual assaults that occur amongst juvenile offenders offending on other children.
Right, right.
But my offenses deal with adult offenders, and that is my full-time caseload. I do also prosecute adult sexual assaults.
Sure.
But the majority of my caseload is child sexual assaults. And I range anywhere from 120 to closer to 200 cases open at any one given time. Those are pending cases at any one given time. So that's just for Marathon County. So it varies, it ranges, but it's well over 100 at any given time. So if you think there are 365 days in a year, that is a significant problem in Marathon County. And those are only the cases that are reported.
Right. A lot of cases go unreported,
yes.
for those reasons that we just discussed. The victim is afraid and fears repercussions. In the attackers, those that are committing the crime, the adults that are committing the crimes and these assaults on children, are you seeing where these are new cases coming in, so that those that have committed the crime, have been arrested, have gone through the judicial system and have been put away, we don't have to worry about them anymore? Or are you seeing repeat offenders, recidivism? Are you seeing those that have come through the system coming through again and again and again on different assault charges?
Well, what I want to point out first is that there are different types of offenders.
Okay.
They're all covered by the sexual assault laws. So if you have sex with a child under the age of 16, whether you are age 20 or you are age 55, the laws are going to apply to you, mm-hmm. regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So we see offenders that are in what we call relationships with younger offenders. And then we see adults who are offending on children as young as infants, you know, all the way up to 15 years of age.
So the first part that you were talking about, where there is a slight age difference, now,
right.
you know, 20 years old and a 16-year-old, there could be an argument of consensual behavior between the two. I'm talking about those where the children, where they're legitimately children, that there is absolutely no consensus. There's no consenting to the assault whatsoever. There's no even mistaking that it's like, wow, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Right. Those offenders, are you seeing them? Are they new that are coming into the system, or are these repeat offenders?
Well, first of all, no one under age 16 can consent to intercourse, and no
right.
one under age or contact, and no one under the age of 18 can consent to intercourse legally. As far as repeat offenders, I am seeing repeat offenders. Many times what I see are offenders who have been offenders as juveniles,
mm-hmm.
and then they progress into the adult system,
mm-hmm.
and I am seeing repeat offenders as adults.
I guess the question comes in, and then we'll lead into this for our next segment, because we need to take a break, and it's like, why are there repeat offenders? Why is it that a case that somebody who has committed, what I consider to be, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but what I consider to be just a heinous crime. Why are they back out on the street with the ability to offend again?
Well, the juvenile offenders, obviously the juvenile system can only take them so far, and then they become adults, and then they're reoffending. Adult offenders, they're unless they have previously been convicted of a crime as an adult, a child sex offense, they will get out. There is no life sentence. But if they have a prior conviction and they come back into the system, then there is a possibility of life without parole. But the reality is, if you're convicted of a child sex offense for the first time, you are going to be released.
What time frame?
It can range anywhere from probation up to 40 years incarceration. And frankly, 40 years is very rare.
Very rare.
Very rare.
All right, we're going to take our first break, and we will be back in just a minute. We're talking to Teresa Whetstone, who is with the District Attorney's Office here in Marathon County. When we come back, let's talk about I would like to see a strengthening of our laws. I would like to see more harsh, mandatory first offense penalties. But I know that that's not a fix-all. I know that that could make your job, and prosecutors all over the country, that could make your job more difficult. So can we talk about that when we come back?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right, WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
Sean Hannity, today at 2 on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. It's 823. In the studio with us is Teresa Whetstone, who is with the District Attorney's Office here in Marathon County. And God, just talking in between the segments, some of the cases that you have to deal with. I know that there are a tremendous amount of intricacies, and that there's so many different ways to look at these cases. There's so many different variables. So, you know the old saying, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Let's start with some basics, all right? I'm talking about, first of all, let's talk about these individuals who are in possession of child pornography, okay? They may not have committed a crime on a child, but they are participating in the crime that took place. There is this is a disgusting aspect of our society. As far as I'm concerned, those that are sexually aroused by children have a mental disorder. The information that I have read says that this is not something that is curable, that this is a condition that the individual has forever, and that the physical desire, the emotional desire to offend on children is not eliminated by a physical punishment like castration, that type of thing. So I would like to see for individuals who are in possession of child pornography, life sentence. And I know there's variables there, but if you are in possession of child porn, goodbye, you're gone. If you are a child predator, where you are offending on children, where you have been convicted of a sexual assault on a child, life sentence, goodbye, you're gone. If you produce child porn, where you're in behind the scene, death sentence. If you are producing it and distributing it upon your conviction, death sentence. Goodbye. You are gone. Now, that you're not going to have repeat offenders when the guy is in jail for the rest of his life. You are not going to have, you're going to have people think twice about getting into the business when the guy that was doing it before them is now sitting in a box at room temperature. Does harshening the minimum mandatory punishments for these type of offenses, where it's an adult clearly offending on a child, possession of child porn, and the production of child porn, does this make your job easier or more difficult? What's the practicality of what I'm suggesting?
Well, it does make it easier and more difficult at the same time. Right now, when I started prosecuting sexual assaults, there were no mandatory minimums, and we've come a long way. And right now, possession of child pornography, for example, carries with it a mandatory 3-year incarceration time with it for a conviction.
That's not enough.
it's far cry from where we were. That's
okay.
For sure.
Okay. I'm throwing my person. You're the facts. I'm the emotion.
I'm not saying that. I agree that 3 years is what an offender who possesses child pornography should necessarily get, but it's a great step in the right direction. First degree sexual assault of a child, that now carries with it a mandatory minimum of 25 years initial confinement. And there are a number of other offenses that carry sexual exploitation of a child, which mm-hmm. is basically production of child pornography,
okay.
now carries with it a 5-year mandatory minimum. And like I said, if you've been convicted of a sex crime in the past, now that doesn't mean as a juvenile, but as an adult,
mm-hmm.
and you get charged again, then you can face life without parole, which is harsher than
okay. So
murder cases in our state, at least.
So there's so many questions that come up. If a case has a minimum of 25 years, like you just said, how is it that a person gets out?
Well, what's very difficult about sexual assault cases, and I've had some very recently that have dealt with this issue, is offenders have nothing to lose. If you say to them, okay, I want a conviction on this charge, and you're going to sit the next 25 years in prison. So what that causes an offender to do is want to take these cases to trial, which I have no problem taking a case to
right.
trial, but it's not about me. It's about the victim. And a lot of times we okay. have these young children who they have to go into an open courtroom
and testify
and
great
face
detail.
The offender. Oftentimes these defendants have not confessed. So what it becomes is he said, she said. Oftentimes it's a delayed report due to fear and other issues. And the delayed report means that there is not DNA present. Obviously, there won't be witnesses present.
Mm-hmm.
Very little that corroborates this child. And the effects, as we've already talked about, on these children, the effects often cause tremendous, almost post-traumatic stress, and you re-victimize a lot of times these children by coming
okay.
back into the court process. But what this does, these mandatory minimums, what it helps a prosecutor do is negotiate, and we are seeing harsher penalties as a result of these mandatory minimums, even if they aren't always imposed.
All right. What about the individual that's caught with a hard drive full of child porn?
Right.
There's not a living victim. You're not going to get the children that's being imaged. You've got the evidence right there. What about life sentence for that guy?
And, you know, I agree with your assessment of child pornography as far as the effects of it go. I think a lot of times the argument is there wasn't an actual child involved. He hasn't actually offended on a child. Wow, if you have ever, and I hope you never have, had the opportunity to view child pornography,
no.
It is just devastating. These young children are so victimized every time an offender takes a look at any of
mm-hmm.
these images. There are so many defenses now to these computer crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Tracking in our Department of Criminal Investigations and our local law enforcement has become very educated on computers now, and it's getting easier to prosecute these crimes, but nothing is ever guaranteed. And I want to say to the public that if you see a negotiation in a case, on a sexual assault case, there can be some pretty darn good reasons why that negotiation occurred that the general public is not aware of. And sometimes there's judgment passed when you don't know the individual circumstances of what the
right.
evidence is, what the child is going through, what the family wishes
right.
to have happen.
Like I said, there are always so many variables in these cases. And that's why I think starting off with the production of and possession of child porn is a very good place to start. Do we have a problem, and we're out of time, do we have a problem in Marathon County with the production where child porn is being produced here? Do we have a problem with that, or is it coming from Europe and other sources?
No, and you know what's aiding in the production is cell phones. And it is so easy now. Child pornography is not this studio produced child pornography anymore. It is people using their cell phones, any kind of device like that to capture photographs or videos, making it much more prevalent in Marathon County and everywhere, and easier to produce, unbeknownst to the child even sometimes, or, you know, where a child is.
All right. Teresa, unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment. I know that you have meetings and so forth that you've got to go to. I would like to extend the invitation for you to come back and let us talk more about some of the other aspects that we didn't get a chance to talk to today, but I greatly, greatly appreciate you coming in and talking to us today.
Okay, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. One of the things that we are going to do on future shows, we're going to talk about not only getting the criminal into the criminal system and prosecuted, but what happens when these people are in prison? What kind of behavior? I mean, are they model citizens and, oh, this poor individual, he's being overly prosecuted? No. We're going to talk about what kind of people they are in the prison system in an upcoming show, and other aspects as well. This is the WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
The news, talk, and Packers Station. News Talk 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.